We are in Doctrine and Covenants, section 61 today, and I want to start with one of my son's best friends. His senior year went up to Bear Lake boating with his family and was wakeboarding and was trying to do a flip and came down and hit his mouth and broke his jaw in several places and was just bleeding like crazy, and he passed out. And his dad, I think his mom was back at the cabin. His dad was there. You had to go a good 45 minutes to get to the hospital. And he told us, it was a very spiritual experience. He told us, as they were riding through the canyon, he was in the back of their van or their SUV, and his grandpa and his dad had given him a blessing. He said he kept going unconscious and he was just bleeding so much. And he said, I think it was his grandmother or someone appeared to him, came to him as he was unconscious and said, "You will be able to serve a mission." And he said, "I remember thinking, oh my gosh, am I dying? Why would they say that? I didn't wonder if I'd be able to serve a mission." And he said, "I knew then that it was really, really serious," which it was. It was very traumatic. Well, when he came over to tell us about this, and I hope I'm remembering the details right, it was almost 9 years ago. He said, "Sister Perkins, I have a question. I know that in the scriptures it says Satan rules the waters. Should I not have gone boating?" And this is something that, as we talk about DNC 61, many kids question. That's one of the things they want to know. And so I just kind of wanted to talk about that and tell that story as I started. And the good news is he was able to serve a mission. He had to wait quite a while. He was graduated at 19 and it was before the age change. So he should have been able to go right out of school. And he was so excited to go and had his papers in, but they had to prolong. He had to have several surgeries and several things done before he could go. And he ended up going after most of the kids his age went, and it was a huge trial for him. It was really hard for him because he so wanted to go, and I loved his faith and the things that it taught him. It was just this incredible experience. And as he gave his farewell, he talked a lot about that and the things that he learned, and it was hugely touching. Such an incredible kid. Okay, verse 3, we're going to start in 61. It says, "Behold, verily I say to you that it is not needful for this whole company of mine elders to be moving swiftly upon the waters, whilst the inhabitants on either side are perishing in unbelief. Nevertheless, I suffered it, that ye might bear record. Behold, there are many dangers upon the waters, and more especially hereafter." Okay, and then I want you to jump down to verse 19. "I, the Lord, have decreed, the destroyer rideth upon the face thereof, and I revoke not that decree." Okay, so all of those verses leading up to that are really about the destroyer on the water and the dangers. And so I want to read in the handbook what it says. They had encamped, they were going on the water, nothing was going right. It says, "We started down the river in canoes and went the first day as far as Fort Assuage, I guess, where we had an excellent wild turkey for supper. Nothing very important occurred till the third day, when many of the dangers so common on the western waters manifested themselves. After we had encamped on the bank of the river at McQuillan's Bend, Brother Phelps, in open vision by daylight, saw the destroyer in his most horrible power ride upon the face of the waters. Others heard it, but saw not the vision." Okay, and then let's jump over here. Let's see. "The Lord can very properly speak of this as a curse." Oh, here. "Someone may rise up and say, the soil." So it talks about that the curse started with the land and then went to the water. And so it talked about how hard it was for these early pioneers in early history of man to plant things. and to grow food, that was a huge struggle. And they just said they did not know the composition of soil and what they needed to do to grow things. So this is what it says. Someone may rise up and say that the soil in those days was just as productive as now, and this may be the case. It is not a matter of dispute. The matter of cultivation did not lend itself to the abundant production which we receive today. The Lord can very properly speak of this as a curse, as or a lack of blessing upon the land. And then it goes on. In those early periods, we have every reason to believe the torrents, the floods, the dangers upon the waters were not as great as they are today, and by no means as great as what the Lord promised us. The early mariners among the ancient traversed of the seas, as they knew them in that day in comparative safety. Oh, traverse the seas as they knew that day. Today, this manner of travel in such boats would be the most dangerous and risky. Moreover, we have seen the dangers upon the waters increased until the hearts of men have failed. We have seen year by year great destruction upon them, coming from them. Millions upon millions of dollars annually are lost by the great streams overflowing its banks. Many have lost their lives in floods as they sweep over the land. The word of the Lord has been and is being fulfilled in Revelation. While the Lord has spoken of the sea heaving itself beyond the bounds and waves roaring, yet we must include in this great destruction upon the waters means of war and submarine. And I love that because really it's at this time for them. It was not safe. Their mode of travel in canoes. And just, it isn't that it isn't safe now. It isn't that we shouldn't be in the oceans playing or doing the things we're doing. And even when they say to the missionaries not to get in the water, it's because you're supposed to be focusing on missionary work. And even here, the Lord is saying to them, I want you out of the water and teaching people on the way. And it ties into yesterday's where he was saying, you cannot fear man. Open your voice and declare it. And they were scared to. These were wicked, wicked people. These were not refined people. They're in the far, far west where people are running from the law. And it's scary to them. They know among people who acted the way they should, they've been persecuted and chased and not treated well or been embraced. They haven't gone through the most severe persecution yet. It's coming amongst these people. And so truly, this is why those were there. This sweet missionary, I remember saying to him, you did nothing wrong and we are fine to be on the water. And sometimes things just happen and God will be in the healing with you and the lessons that this sweet missionary learned. Do I believe God could have prevented that? Yes. But God allows life to happen and he mourns with us in the trials and he struggles with us, but he also allows us to learn and grow. And this cute kid was an amazing missionary. And I dare say far greater than he would have been had he left from the things he learned from these trials. And I'm sure he touched his investigators immensely. Okay, I want you to go to verse 34. It says, inasmuch as they do this, they shall rid their garments and be spotless before me. And that's in talking, raising their voice. In the congregations of the wicked. So exactly what he said yesterday, he's now saying in 32 and 33, raise your voice to the wicked. He wants them all. But what he's saying is that's how we are found spotless, is that we are not fearing man. We are doing God's bidding and we are not afraid to be used by him. And that's how we are found spotless. That's how he knows we are his, that we have put him first and that our desire is to bring others to him, just as Christ's desire is to bring others to him. We become one with Christ. That matters so much to us. It's our greatest desire. And I love that. Okay, and then go down. It does talk in verse 35 of going two by two, and that missionary pattern has continued. That is wisdom. That's also why there's two parents. There is safety and wisdom in that. And I think it is a beautiful pattern that the Lord has set. Can you, as a single parent, raise incredible children? Yes. Is it easier with two? Yes, it is. And that is the best way. The Lord gives us the best way. And as you look at these young missionaries going on missions, is it wisdom to have someone else to counsel with? Are you in safer circumstances to have two and not be in a position where you're by yourself? Yes, God is so wise and gives us the best case scenario he can. And so I love that the pattern is set right here. 36, and now verily I say unto you, and what I say unto one, I say unto all, be of good cheer, little children, for I am in your midst, and I have not forsaken you. And I love that. It is a command for us to be happy. And this is so important in the midst of COVID, in the midst of divisiveness, in the midst of this culture that we live in. Be of good cheer. Focus on things to be happy about. There are things to be happy about. I'll share really quickly. It was really cute at graduation. My daughter, who just graduated from high school, they had several speakers, and most of the speakers kept emphasizing this horrendous year of COVID and all that these kids had gone through. And she was sitting here with a friend, and she said, you know, it was funny, by the end, I was like, oh my gosh, stop. It hasn't been that bad. And she goes, losing my grandpa, not having to go to school on Fridays. And I just started laughing. I said, Kinley, that's hysterical. You should have spoken. That's really funny. But here's the thing that I loved about that. Do we miss my dad? Yes, but we know where he is, and he lacked out. He's done. He lived his life. He has no regrets. We know where he is. Here's the thing. Focus on the good. And I love that she focused on that. Fridays, no school. There was good out of that. Be of good cheer. And then I love that, little children. We are as but babes at the feet of the Savior. I am in your midst, and I have not forsaken you. Don't you dare think that I'm unaware. I am walking with you, and this is all part of my plan. I love when Uchtdorf said, COVID did not catch God by surprise. This is all part of his plan. He walks with us. We are little children. We have no concept what he has in store, and what little we do know is very little. And he is with us. And this life is to learn that he walks with us in our trial. The stuff Colby learned, my son's friend, from going through that, he learned more than anything that God walked with him. And that was the most powerful testimony he could bear on his mission as he shared with people what he had gone through. And it was powerful. Okay, I love in 38, gird up your loins, be watchful, be sober, look forth for the coming of the Son of Man, for he cometh in an hour you think not. And then 39, pray always, lest ye enter into that ye enter not into temptation. Gird up your loins means you're getting ready to work. Tuck that in, be ready to run, be ready to do whatever he needs you to do. Be watchful, be sober, be serious-minded, looking for him to come. Are we watching? Waiting, being mindful, and praying always that we stay focused on him. He is the center. That's what we need to do. And we need to not get upset about other things or distracted. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.